Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, June the 28th, 2017, 1:12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 12 minutes past the hour, coming up on 13 minutes, and we have got a great hour of programming coming up here today, and I want to give a little plug for tomorrow's program as well. We'll start from the bottom of this hour, coming up today at 1:45, we are going to be joined by the Ohio Democratic Chair, David Pepper, who is going to come on to discuss health care. The health care bill that's currently out there only has 12% popularity among Americans, according to a new poll. So our Ohio Democratic Chair, David Pepper, will be along today at 1:45 p.m. Tomorrow, you're not going to want to miss this program. Thursday at 12:15, we're going to be joined by Pastor Dr. Tony Campolo, who was the spiritual advisor to President Bill Clinton. He's going to come on, talk about his time with the Clintons. He's also going to talk about what happens when we die, when we leave this earth, and talk about a very controversial lecture he gives around the country from time to time, which is entitled, Where Was God on 9/11? That's coming up tomorrow, but right now, we're joined by a gentleman who was on earlier this year. I believe he was on in February. He is a professor of American history, politics, and government. He's a blogger, a lecturer, and he is an author of Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency. And the last time he was on this program, he predicted that President Trump would leave office in some way, shape, or form between August 7th, 2017, which is just about a month and a half away, and May the 28th, 2018, which is less than a year away. He is Dr. Ronald Fineman. Let's see if he sticks by that prediction. Dr. Fineman, good to speak with you again.
Yeah, thank you very much again, Scott, for inviting me.
Okay, last time you were on here, you said that he would be the third shortest serving president in U.S. history?
Yes, and I still stand by that. I will give up on the second shortest. He's not going to be leaving by August 7th, but I do think by May 28th, May 27th next year, which is when Zachary Taylor reached 492 days, that he will be removed. But I think it will be by the fact that I expect that he's going to fire, I may be wrong, he's going to fire the special counsel, Robert Mueller, and that will cause an impeachment movement to move forward.
So you think the firing of Robert Mueller would cause the Republican House to do impeachment proceedings?
I'm not saying all of them, but enough of them with Democrats. I think there would be a motion to impeach, and I think there would be a good likelihood of the Judiciary Committee coming up with some articles of impeachment if he does that. And I sense from what he's saying that he's going to eventually do that and also fire Rod Rosenstein, the Assistant Attorney General, Deputy Attorney General, who appointed him. He's been ranting about both of them quite a bit in Twitter, and I understand ranting and raving late at night while watching cable TV. So I think that any more revelations, and they're going to be coming, he's going to, go off the deep end, and he's going to probably fire Mueller.
What do you think is going to be coming?
I think there's going to be more revelations of a Russian collusion and also about the emoluments clause. I mean, and I think it's also affecting his son-in-law, who now is under investigation, has his own attorney. It also, unfortunately, also it's caused the Vice President, Mike Pence, to get an attorney. And even the Attorney General, and this is all very alarming, and it's never happened before. Even in the Nixon administration, we did not have this kind of situation arising.
Okay, let's talk about this word collusion, because people hear this, and everybody's got a different definition. Now, it seems like some people's definition of collusion is that the Trump campaign worked with the Russians to get elected. And then other people is they worked with the Russians to stop Hillary Clinton from getting elected, and then they made sure Hillary Clinton wouldn't get elected. What kind of collusion do you think happened here, and did Donald Trump know about it?
I think he knew about it because of the people he had around him who were involved with the Russians. and then had to back out. His campaign manager, you know, in 2016 had to back out. I do think that he is someone who was well aware of what was going on, and he also, I think, is involved with financial activities with the Russians that have tied him down and made him a bit of a captive as a result. And I think he's desperately trying to, you know, get people's attention off of the Russian collusion. But I think it's there, and I remind you, the Republican Party historically has been more anti-Russian than the Democratic Party. And I think, I don't know if I said it the last time, but if Joseph McCarthy, I know it's not communist Russia, you'd say, but really, it's not very different with Putin. Now, Joseph McCarthy, who I'm no fan of course, would be absolutely outraged. I think Richard Nixon, Eisenhower, Barry Goldwater would be outraged at the friendship that he has, the bromance he has, and yet he's criticized almost every other government leader of every friendly nation that we have dealings with. And that's shocking, and I think it's very disturbing. And I think that there are a lot of Republicans on Capitol Hill who are keeping quiet because they're hoping that they'll be able to get their agenda through, but they're seeing already he's not even cooperating on that. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He first backs the House bill, then says it's mean. You know, he's not really connected to the party, and eventually abandon him. Not all of them, of course. That never happens, but that it will lead to impeachment.
Now, what kind of collusion do you believe happened? I heard a statistic. I read it in a newspaper about 3 months ago, and I've brought this up a few times, that there are 25% of voting machines that after 2000, when we had the big debacle with the hanging chads, 25% of the voting machines in this country you can't do a recount on because they are electronic voting machines. And the states that have those, Florida has those, we here in Ohio have those, Michigan has those, Wisconsin has those, and Pennsylvania has those. Now, we know that's what cost Hillary Clinton those elections, those states.
Yes.
So when they say the Russians didn't change any votes, if you can't recount 25% of the electronic ballots, and if you were going to hack into ballots, I would think they'd be the electronic ones, how do they know they didn't hack into them?
I actually think they probably did. I think the election was fixed in that sense. But I also think in 2000, the election was somewhat fixed because of that. And also in 2004, in your state, Ohio, there was that belief that there might have been a flip of votes done by someone that caused Kerry to lose Ohio, and he would have, if he had won Ohio, even though he would not have won the popular vote, he would have become president. So I think we have a lot of times when we cannot be honest in believing the results of elections because of the way voting is done in so many states, particularly crucial states, the large electoral vote states.
Now,
so I am very concerned about that, but obviously we're not going to change the result in the sense of putting Hillary Clinton in office, but I do think we have to hold Trump accountable for what's happened.
Well, let's talk about this, because this is something I think we need to dig deeper in. You said right off the bat there, you say you do believe that happened, that votes were changed, and
yes,
that this was a fix. Now, what makes you believe that?
Well, because historically, votes have been often stolen or fixed in past elections when we didn't have that kind of system. So to believe that everything was done honestly, I think you have to be very naive.
That being said, so you believe that more people in this country, even in the Electoral College, voted for Hillary Clinton?
Well, not in the Electoral College, because the winner of the popular vote is the one who gets his electors or her electors to go to the state capitol. So the electoral vote was based on the announced popular vote. So I'm not saying the electors, but I'm saying the popular vote, I think, was manipulated.
Right, but if the popular vote was manipulated in the states we're talking about that had electric ballot machines, then she would have got those electors, which would have made her president.
That's correct.
So you think there was altering in that way?
Yes.
Okay, by the Russians?
Well, I think by the Russians, but I also think by people in the party apparatus of the Republican Party.
Now, why did the Republican Party have the ability to do this, and the sitting president was Democrat, President Obama? Why didn't he have the power to do it?
Well, first of all, I don't think he would have the ethics to have done, the bad ethics to have done that. I know some people would disagree on that. I think he was very ethical compared to most presidents. I think also he didn't want to look as if he was intervening to favor one side over the other, that it was inappropriate, but actually he probably should have done more investigation sooner. We've been saying that lately, that he probably was too slow to react to the evidence of collusion going on.
Now, we start from the initial premise that you think that President Trump will not finish out his term. You also said that Mike Pence, our current vice president, has had to get a lawyer as well. Now, Pence was in charge of the transition team. Now, if Trump gets impeached, which you believe he will, that's your prediction, do you believe Pence is going to be there at that time, that he's still going to be in his office?
Well, first of all, let me say impeached does not mean you're convicted. That's the House. The question whether the Senate would get 67 votes to remove him is another story. It's, after all, it didn't happen to Andrew Johnson with fewer senators in, or to Bill Clinton. So I'm not sure he would be removed, but I think he would be impeached is what I'm saying.
But
the trial is another story. There's no way to know.
But your prediction is that he will not be in office. So do you think he'll be impeached and resign? Because if he's impeached and survives, like Clinton, then he's not out of office. So how do you see that happening then?
I think that when it comes push to shove, he would resign. Because just like Nixon did, I don't think he'd want to go through an impeachment trial.
Okay, if Mike Pence has a lawyer, and if Donald Trump resigns, Pence becomes the president. He was the head of the transition team, as I said, that was supposed to vet Flynn. Do you think Pence stays? Not impeached. Does he leave? Does he also resign? Agnew went before Nixon did.
I don't think we know enough yet, but I think the fact that Pence seems to have known more than he sooner than he says makes us wonder about his veracity. I must say it undermines his reputation quite a bit in my mind, but it doesn't necessarily prove that he can't succeed. But if that was to happen, and there's no if he does not resign, and I don't think he would resign, then if he did not become president because of some indication that he was involved in the scandal, then the Speaker of the House would be next in line under the succession laws.
Here's the problem that I keep. These are the conversations that people have over the dinner table. Now, you have one dinner table where they say Trump did not do anything wrong. He will stay, so there's no point in talking about this. So that's one side of it. Then the other side is that Trump and Pence will both have to leave because Pence was in head of the transition team, and people don't think Trump will make it because of collusion. And Pence was a part of the campaign, so if you say the campaign colluded with the Russians, you have to include Pence in that. So that's that. So secession, you're right, would go to Speaker Paul Ryan. But here's the problem. Here's what people always say to me, and this is what we've discussed over the airwaves with callers. This is not 1968. The only other president to resign is Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon won that election with 49 states, even though...
72 election, yes, not...
Yeah, the re-election campaign.
Yeah.
He won the election that basically got him thrown out of office. He won with 49 states. Even if the Watergate burglary had not happened, chances are McGovern still would not have won.
That is correct.
Okay, problem here, because Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Hillary Clinton, we're talking about voter tampering. We're talking about colluding not to get her elected. Do you think there's any way this country would accept if Pence and Trump went, that we're just going to turn that over to Paul Ryan and Hillary Clinton? Sorry, you really did win, but too bad, so sad.
Oh, boy. That's quite a question. Well, we've never had a reversal of an election a year and a half after and putting the loser in. So I still think the succession laws would be that the Speaker of the House would be next. But it is a real horrible mess, no question.
What if it's a Democratic House by 2018?
Well, that would be for 2019, actually, January, because the election's November. It would become Democratic, which I think the House will by 2018 for January 2019. Well, then I suppose if it happened in 2019, Speaker of the House, who could be, I guess, Nancy Pelosi, could become the first woman president, which would be quite a shock to everybody.
Well, here's what I mean. That's how it could happen. I mean,
yes.
And here's the problem. We've never had, I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, and my history might be wrong, the Speaker of the House has never taken over the presidency for a long period of time.
The Speaker of the House has never taken over the presidency at all. The only time it would have happened is if there was no 25th Amendment where a vice president could be replaced and Gerald Ford came on after Agnew, then Carl Albert, the Speaker of the House, would have succeeded Nixon in 1974. That's the closest it ever came, but it has never happened. You're correct.
Okay.
Although we've had a couple of speakers who became president, but not by the succession. James K. Polk, for instance, was Speaker of the House, or had been, and then became president, but never actually has the succession gone to the Speaker of the House under the succession laws.
Right, and I think in the Nixon situation, the reason people accepted Ford was he was already the sitting vice president. He had been for a little while when Nixon resigned.
8 months, yes.
8 months. And it was believable that he had no ties to Watergate. The problem is here, if you give the presidency to the Speaker of the House of the party that was just had charges brought against them of impeachment, I don't think the country in 2017 is going to say, oh, okay, just put him in the job and have him pick his own vice president. I don't think Paul Ryan has ambitions to be president, and I don't think that he would run for re-election, which would upset the Republicans, because he didn't want the job to begin with.
Well, I must say here, I disagree with you. I think Paul Ryan very much wants to be president. I think that's why he agreed to run for vice president with Mitt Romney. And I think he very definitely does imagine someday that he could run for president. However, I think his own record is a problem. You know, I think the way he reacts to the issue of poverty and the issue of entitlements and all that, I think really makes him a very negative force and someone that would not unite the country.
So in this case, either way this goes, whether it ends up being Paul Ryan or Nancy Pelosi or Mike Pence, is it just, sorry, Hillary, you really did win, but too bad?
I don't see it ever going to the loser, in quotes, of the election, suddenly going to her. I don't see that. But actually, one thought that has crossed my mind is there are those who think Paul Ryan has scandal in his background, too, with this, that he's overlooked things. So the argument could be we could go, as though it seems really unlikely, to the president pro tempore of the Senate, who is next in line to be president, and that is Orrin Hatch, 83 years old, Senator Hatch of Utah. Who could possibly be a successor, although look at how old he is, but he could in theory, because that would be the case if the top three were not available, the president pro tempore of the Senate, the longest serving member of the majority party, and that is Orrin Hatch in the Senate since 1976 election, would be the heir apparent.
And again, if this does happen, which to some degree you have predicted that Donald Trump will not finish his term. So
I do not think so, no.
So we are talking about a situation close to this. So does Hillary just go away? I mean, I'm not saying she's going to be put in by anybody. Let's say that doesn't happen. Do you think she just accepts that and says, well, it was stolen from me and I'm going to go into the good night?
I think she's already accepted it. She doesn't have any illusions she's going to become president during this term. And as far as next time, I really don't think she will run again. I really don't. And honestly, for the Democratic Party, I think we need a fresh new face. I think we need someone younger. I do not think Bernie Sanders would be good. He'll be 79 in 2020. Joe Biden, I really like, but he'll be 78, although he's leading in some early polls because people know him, and I really liked him all along. And I do think even Elizabeth Warren, I think, you know, being in her 70s, 71, I think we need a younger generation like we had with JFK, Carter, Clinton, and Obama, and people like that. And I think there are enough people in their 40s and 50s in Congress and in the states that we can find someone who could be a very good candidate, no guarantee of winning, of course, but a good candidate for the election in 2020.
Let me lay this at your foot, because this is what has come to me over time, and a lot of people say, it ain't going to happen, but let me lay it out for you. Hillary Clinton, like it or not, did win the popular vote by 3 million, more than anybody who ever lost the election.
Yeah, 2.85 million to be precise.
Okay.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton also, by your account, probably had the election stolen from her in the Electoral College by collusion with the Russians of the Trump campaign.
Yes.
Hillary Clinton is out criticizing Trump less than 3 months after the election. She was out already criticizing him. She is writing a book about why she lost the election that will come out in September.
Mm-hmm.
She is out campaigning with the Democrats to win the House and the Senate in 2018. She's younger than Donald Trump. She's younger than Joe Biden. She's younger than Bernie Sanders. She wanted to be the first female president. And in 2020, when we have that election, that will be 100 years to the year,
yes,
that we women had the right to vote and voted for the first time on president. I'm telling you, why, if you lost and you had accepted it, would you be out on the speaking tour and writing a book about why you lost?
Well, to try to help, you know, I think to help her name in history. She wants to make a case about her career. I mean, I can understand that. But I somehow do not see her wanting to go through this again, and I think it would divide the Democratic Party if she did, because I think a lot of people feel she had two shots at it in 8 and 16, and enough is enough, and we need to move on.
But is the second shot a loss? I mean, that's what I don't... See, that's the problem. I think if she had lost by a large margin, there's no conversation. But that's not what happened.
That's true. Well, I don't know, but I do think a lot of Democrats on the left who would not want her, think of her as a corporate Democrat. We need someone, I think, that's not so centrist as she is. And I think that's the problem she has. And I don't know if she can reformulate herself by 2020.
It's a very interesting question because, who is going to run in 2020 then? If it not Hillary, not Bernie, not Joe Biden?
Well, I think a couple of them might run like Bernie and Joe, but I think that the people to look to are people like Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Cory Booker of New Jersey, Chris Murphy of Connecticut, Kamala Harris of California, also possibly Gavin Newsom, who's going to probably be the lieutenant governor of California, who's going to be the governor probably of California, and also Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, is talked about a great deal. That's already 7 people, and all of them are much, much younger, and they all have interesting careers. They're not as well known yet, but I do think that some of them really are very appealing. Personally, I find Chris Murphy very appealing from Connecticut, and also Eric Garcetti, the mayor of Los Angeles, and that's the second biggest city. So, and he's been also on the city council, so he's got great experience, great background for like 15 or more years in L.A., and, you know, California is still the biggest state. It's a Democratic state now, but I'm saying I think Garcetti is a possibility, Chris Murphy is. And if you're looking at the issue of different factors, Garcetti is an interesting personality, not only for his record, but that he's Jewish, and he's also Italian, and also has Mexican heritage. So he deals with a number of different areas at the same time with his experience in an urban area such as Los Angeles. So I would think those are the kind of people I would see now as likely. I think the best bets, but of course the primaries and caucuses will decide it ultimately. And it's, I would say, nobody in the first year of a term can ever predict who the next term nominee will be, because it never works out like you plan. Nobody has ever been correct yet this early as to who would even be the nominees, let alone the winner. So it's all just my own gut feeling.
I think if book sales go well on this book for Hillary, she might take a shot at it.
Well, she might, but I don't know if she'd win it. That's win the nomination.
Oh, well, let's put it that way. Do you think she's going to take a shot at it?
I think right now she probably would say not, but if more information comes out, it's possible she would, but I'm not sure she could unite the party. I'm not sure she would get the nomination, and it has to be very clear that there's no manipulation by the Democratic National Committee, as was claimed in the last election.
I tell you, we got to take about a minute break here, but I want, sure, when we come back, we're going to be with Dr. Fineman, and I want you to tell us, I want you to tell us your thoughts on our governor, John Kasich. Where's he going? He's out of here in 2018. Where does he go? Does he run for president? What's his story? Stay with us here on WWGH Radio.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the voices you want to hear. Marianne Michaels reading a poem by Nan Britton, the mother of the daughter of President Warren G. Harding.
And it's called Her Eyes by Nan Britton. Sometimes her eyes are blue as deep sea blue, and calm as water stilted at evenfall. I see not quite my child in these blue eyes, but him whose soul shines wondrously through her. Serene and unafraid he was, and knew how to dispel the fears in other hearts. Meeting an anxious gaze, all tranquility. These are her father's eyes. Sometimes her eyes are blue, the azure blue of an octopus mountaintops. I do not see my child in these blue eyes. They are the eyes of him whose spirit glowed with happiness of soul alone, which lies far deeper than the depths of bluest eyes, whose smile a thing of joy it was to see. These eyes, this smile, are his. Sometimes her eyes are of a tired gray-blue, filled with the sadness of an age-old world. And then again, my child's not in these eyes. These are the eyes of one whom grief assailed, whom disappointment crushed with its great weight. Around his head a halo memory casts, reflecting that refiner's fire which purged him clean and made him what he was. Sometimes, in child amaze and wonder blue, her baby eyes are lifted up to mine. These only are the eyes she brought with her, and so I fold her close within my arms and talk of dolls and stars and mother love, for well I know that pitifully soon she will be grown, and then her eyes will hold only the deeper lights his own eyes knew.
Ah, you ought to get a job reading books, Marianne. That was very good.
That's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
That is the introduction to the president's daughter.
WWG Radio 107.1 FM, the voices you want to hear. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
39 minutes past the hour, we're back here. Dr. Ron Fineman, author of Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency. Dr. Fineman, we've got 5 minutes left here. Tell me about our Governor John Kasich.
Actually, I really admire John Kasich, and, you know, I think he would have been the best person the Republican Party could have run in 2016, and he's leaving as governor, of course, next year, but I sense, depending on circumstances, that he might very well decide to challenge either Trump or Pence if one of them is still in office in 2020, because I think he fits the mainstream. He's conservative, but I think he can draw Democratic support. I think he could have had a good chance to win the 2016 election, and I think his record is admirable overall.
Why do they all say no? When you ask Kasich, he says no. When you ask Hillary, she says no.
It's very early, and usually in the first year of the four-year term, you don't have people saying that. And it's also usually after the midterm election, when people either are reelected or elected or whatever, that people start to do so. And, of course, he can claim, Kasich, that he's still the governor and that it's the best job in the world. I always laugh when he says that. Everybody says that about their job. That's really silly. But I do think that he wants to wait and see what happens with the political waters over the next year and a half and see where Trump stands or where Pence stands. But I do think that he could bring the Republican Party back to the center right, which is where I think it needs to be. It's too far over to the far right now, as he has claimed about the health care bill, and he's absolutely correct.
Okay, with about 3 minutes left here, let's go back to where we started here. You say you don't think President Trump will last through May 28th of next year. You see his tweets, you hear he's angry at the television. How long do you think it's going to be? If you had to shoot in that period, when do you think it's going to happen?
I would think early next year, because I believe his public opinion ratings have not gone up. They continue to go down, and I think the Republican Party is not accomplishing any of its goals. It doesn't look like it will, and I think they're going to be running scared early next year, and they're going to be thinking about their own hides, and they're going to be ready to, at least in the House, I think, impend conviction. And it's hard to say, but I think that if it came to that, that he would say, I've had enough of this, I don't need this stress in my life at my age, that I've proved I can be president, which he has. He'll always be the number 45 president. He'll build the hugest, using his word, presidential museum. And I think that, I really think that it will happen, I would say, sometime early in the year before May 27th, May 28th.
It's fascinating. Dr. Ron Feinman, professor of American history, politics, and government, blogger, lecturer, and author of Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Yes, thank you for the second time, and I hope to come back again in the future.
I hope so. Thank you, Dr. Feinman.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we're going to come up here again. Boy, that's very interesting. Whether you believe it or not, you got to say it's interesting. Coming up here momentarily, we're going to be joined by Ohio Democratic Chair David Pepper, who is going to discuss health care here with us. And tomorrow, don't forget tomorrow at 12:15, we're going to be joined by Pastor Dr. Tony Campolo. He was Bill Clinton's spiritual advisor, and we're going to talk about what happens when we die, and also his somewhat controversial lecture that he goes around the country giving, which is Where Was God on 9/11? So it should be interesting. We've got about 2 minutes before David Pepper will join us, so if anybody wants to call in and say something, call 740-383-9944. Remember, Midget Football signups, 2017 registration, Marion Midget Football and Cheerleading will be at Lincoln Park, 5:30 to 7 p.m. tonight, June 28th, tomorrow, June 29th. It's tackle football and cheerleading, ages 8 to 12 years old. All you need, a $30 fee, a one-time $30 fee, and a birth certificate are required. King and Queen signups will also be taking place, a $10 fee for all ages. For more information, contact 740-382-4558 or 740-751-2948. Again, Midget Football celebrating 45 years here in Marion, and we want to thank Patty Worcester, the treasurer, and Martha Dasmanesi, who have both been with that program for 35 years. It starts the first Sunday after Labor Day, the first Sunday after Popcorn Festival, with the Popcorn Bowl, and we play at Baker Field, over by the old Baker School, just off Route 95. And opening ceremonies are always great. I attend that. It's a lot of fun. Marion Midget Football, how many programs have been around educating children and youth for 45 years? Not too many. What a great organization that is. David Pepper, Ohio Democratic Chair, coming up momentarily. Stay with us here on WWGH Radio.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fayee Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Hi, this is Steve Boom Boom Cannon, and as the king of trivia, I've got a question for you. Where can you find great talk, open phone lines, and celebrities every day? Now with Scott Spears on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP. We're in Marion, Ohio. Call him at 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
From 12:10 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is Marianne Michaels, and you can catch my friend Scott Spears Monday through Friday right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Entertaining interviews with celebrities every day.
Live 12:10 to 2 p.m.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here, WWGH Radio, time 47 minutes past the hour, on this Wednesday, June the 28th, 2017. Oh my goodness, the Marion County Fair starts on Monday, July the 3rd. We're less than a week away from July the 4th. I can hardly believe that. That seems unbelievable. Telephone number, if you'd like to call in, 740-383-9944. We were supposed to hear from the Ohio Democratic Chair, David Pepper. Wanted to come on and talk a little bit about health care, so hopefully we will hear from him momentarily. And again, we want to thank Dr. Ron Feynman for coming on, professor of American history, politics, and government, and blogger, lecturer, and author of Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency. Interesting man. Always a pleasure to have him on. And remember, tomorrow, Dr. Tony Campolo, he's a pastor, 12:15 on Thursday. He was the spiritual advisor to President Bill Clinton, and we're going to talk about what happens when we leave this planet, what happens when we die, and we're also going to discuss his somewhat controversial lecture that he's been giving around the country, Where Was God on 9/11? And remember, he is a pastor, Tony Campolo, tomorrow here on WWGH Radio at 12:15, and everything kicks off tomorrow morning with the Charlie Evers Show to 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon. Oh, no, the Adam the Computer Guy Show will kick things off tomorrow morning. Adam the Computer Guy will be on from 9:15 until 10 a.m., and then the Charlie Evers Show, 10:15 until noon tomorrow. Ooh, got to get my time to see. When I'm not looking at a piece of paper, I don't know what I'm doing here. But phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's an interesting world to live in. That is for certain. But a beautiful day outside. A beautiful day. See the sun shining in the window. And just one of those great, beautiful days here in Ohio. And we've gotten to see some people come through the studio today. We've had quite a few visitors, and that is always a joy. And the Charlie Evers Show this morning was great. Normally, he has George Kosotis on. George was not on this morning because George is still out catering. Amazing. George, I believe, 84 or 85 years old, and he's still out campaigning. What a life George Kosotis has lived. Fascinating people all around. That's all I've got to say. Fascinating people all around. And of course, it was great to have Sean Kraft on earlier on, just discussing current events, serving you, hopefully the listener, in the public interest with all kinds of information and hopefully a variety of programs. But I tell you what, we are going to take another quick break here and see game our guest. So stay tuned.
Stop. Listen. Find your sound. You're about to listen to the best show on the air. You'll love Charlie Evans. Can't wait to hear Scott Spears. You cherish Marianne Michaels, quite a lady, that's for sure. So listen to the Exchange Club for topics close to you. Discuss local topics, national topics too.
Alexander Hamilton is going off the $10 bill in 5 years. So long, Alexander. And he is going to put a woman on there on 2020 on the $10 bill. And this summer, they are going to poll people in the United States to see who should go on there. But it will be the first woman on the currency in like 120 years or something.
Well, the women that they've come up with wouldn't really make a bill very good looking. I mean, the women did a lot of good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but they're kind of...
Well, wait a second. What are you saying?
If they put somebody like Marilyn Monroe or
something. Go ahead and say it. You don't want Eleanor Roosevelt's mug on the $10 bill.
Well, or Rosa Parks. And who else?
Won't they airbrush them before they put them on the bill?
I mean, can you imagine flipping out a bill and there's a ugly face looking at you?
Now, wait a second.
Charlie.
Wait a second, Charlie.
Well, I think it's about time that a woman gets... on some
If they put somebody good looking on there.
Oh dear.
Who? Somebody that is famous. Somebody
they have to be dead.
Everything from drug lords and things that we can share. We'll even discuss the presidents and Hillary Clinton's hair.
What do you make of Trump, Charlie? You didn't jump in. You did the wife thing there, but
he's an egotistical jerk.
What do you really think about him?
But he knows enough to make millions. I guess we can't put him down for that.
We can't put him down
because we don't know how much he owes.
He would not have a chance. I'm sorry, at an office. Now he's got a lot of money
that
he can put behind him. But how many people would vote for him? I don't think very many.
So stop. Listen and find yourself a chair. You're about to listen to the best show anywhere.
Every Friday, 12:10 until 1 p.m. Supported by Kroger right here on WWGH 7.1 FM. Streaming live at WWGH1071.com.
All right, we are back here on WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you for the ride on this Wednesday, June the 28th, 54 minutes past the hour, and I think we're going to connect here momentarily with Ohio Democratic Chair David Pepper to discuss this healthcare issue. I got an email there, so hopefully that is on its way momentarily here on this Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday, middle of the week. I tell you, you get to the end of the week and you think, boy, oh boy, the week blew right by. That was nothing. But if you talk to somebody on a Monday or Tuesday, they say, man, this week is just taking forever. So hope this has been a quick week for you. Usually people in the workforce want it to be a quick week. Hopefully it's been a quick week for you and not a long week that just seemed to drag on. Friday's only 48 hours away. Think of it that way. Friday's only 48 hours away. That maybe will make things a little better, a little better, a little easier to take in the world. Remember, you're tuned in to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. And don't forget to download that free TuneIn app on any mobile device. It's a free TuneIn app. Go to the App Store. It's free. Search WWGH, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world, anywhere on planet Earth. You'll be able to hear all of our voices booming out of your smartphone or your tablet or whatever mobile device you may so have. So that's the way it goes. Any comments on anything we talked about earlier? We talked Sarah Palin, suing New York Times. We talked about the kid in Wyoming, Pennsylvania. I think it's Wyoming, Pennsylvania, who said something at graduation that got him cut off. And, of course, we have spent a lot of time talking about should doctors have a mandatory retirement age, and learned today that pilots who fly commercial airliners do have a mandatory retirement age. So that is all very interesting. Okay, I think we got an email here. You know what? Looks like, well, we're going to reschedule that for tomorrow, so we're going to take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you were talking the other day about the filling station across from radio station.
Yes.
It's still there.
Is it still operational?
Yeah, it's called Valero, yeah.
What was it called before? Because it did shut down for a while.
Yeah, it used to be something else. But now it's called Valero.
Valero.
Yeah, it's still there, yeah.
And they still have all the pumps in the little store you go inside there?
Yeah, yeah.
See,
yeah.
When I worked there, which would have been through 2000, okay, early 2000.
Yeah, there was another station. Oh, it was Sunoco for a while.
Yeah, I think it was Sunoco back then.
Yeah,
but that
closed, and then they refurbished it, and it's Valero's in there now.
Now, do you know what's going on with the Swifty station? We had that question.
No, I went by there the other day, and I thought, boy, they're taking a long time getting that thing run, getting it done, and apparently they're not doing anything with it. So,
what'd you make? Did you have a chance to hear Dr. Ron Feynman?
Caught just a little bit of it. Just a little, very, very little.
Well,
I can't even remember what they were talking about
now. He says that he's laid the dates out here. He says President Trump will either be impeached or resign his office between August 7th of this year and May 28th of next year.
Is that right?
Yeah. Good interview.
Well, I've been watching some of the news, you know, flipping back and forth between the different ones. And now they're wanting to call Obama in because he knew about Russian interference as early as May of 2016.
So were Obama, Trump, Pence all working together not to get Hillary elected?
From what they say, that's what it was, is the reason why he didn't bring it out to the American people, because he thought Hillary was going to go ahead and win. So... You know, and it wasn't bothering her, and apparently he thought it was gonna be detrimental to Trump, so he didn't say anything. So now they're trying to get him to talk and find out, you know, why he didn't bring it out to the American people. So,
well,
I don't know.
Very
interesting.
Well, with 30 seconds, I don't know which way you voted, but do you think between Russia and what we know, between the FBI and what we know, between President Obama and what we know, do you think Hillary got a little bit of the shaft here?
No, I don't. I don't.
So
it's been such a debacle that they need to quit talking about with the country.
Nobody ever said that about Nixon. Nobody ever said...
No.
But why do they say it about Trump?
Why did they say what about Trump?
I mean, nobody ever said, let's just not investigate Watergate, let's just get on with the country. I mean, what is stopping President Trump from doing his job? I mean, because he's being investigated doesn't mean he can't do his job.
That's what they're saying. He's trying to do his job, and they keep having these different investigations, and...
Yeah, but why is that stopping him from doing his job?
He's pretty much been exonerated. He's not being investigated, so I don't know.
That was turned around, according to his lawyer. But anyway, the point is, why being investigated, why does that stop him from doing his job?
Well, it doesn't. But he's being met at every front, just like they were talking about this health care bill, and I think it was Schumer... Before he had ever read anything about the Senate version of the health care bill, it's going to kill people.
Yeah, but hold on. But all the all the Republicans, if his own party voted for it, Schumer wouldn't matter. Why won't his own party stand with him?
Well, they're apparently trying to get it worked out. I don't know. It says it's going to save $123 billion, and I think that's wonderful.
And 23 million people, and
$123 billion,
and 23 million people lose their health care.
Well, but they said there was 22 million that opted out of the Obama the Affordable Health Care Act. So what's the difference?
currently 23 million people, not counting. So now you have about 45 million people who won't have health care?
Yeah, see, they said there was 22 million that either didn't want to buy the health care or they opted out.
Right, but I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the 23 million who have diabetes who are using it now that will be kicked off because of it.
That's the CBO's estimates. They think they're wrong.
Oh, well,
for people
who have cancer, for people who have diabetes, I hope to goodness they're wrong.
Yep.
If it does pass. But that's all the time.
They're talking about the 22 million. That's not going to be until 2022, I think it is, which is 7 years down the road.
Well, we will see what happens. We're out of time today. Yep. Thank you for calling in. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Oh, villains for actors are the best things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.